Sure is good to see all of you here this morning. As I look out into the audience, I see we do have people that are visiting with us. We hope you feel welcome. As a matter of fact, we hope that you feel so welcome that you will have the desire to come back and to worship God together with us again and to study with us from the Word of God whenever you're able and willing to. You'll see on the overhead that the subject of the sermon this morning is the rise of entertainment in the Church of Christ. If you're a member of the Church of Christ and you will be honest with yourself, you will acknowledge that there are congregations that are changing drastically. And they're going off in every direction that you can imagine. Everything that's being practiced in denominations is being practiced in some congregation that calls itself the Church of Christ today. And the majority of these changes have taken place in my lifetime. I know out in the audience this morning we have some people that like to hunt. I'm not one of those. I don't even have a gun, I think, that knows how to work. I have a gun, but I don't know how to use it. But I know those of you that do hunt, if you go deer hunting, and you see a deer over here, and then 3 hours pass, and you're sitting up in your stand, you don't go, there was a deer over there 3 hours ago, bang! You don't shoot over there. It was 3 hours ago. Why don't you shoot over here? Because he's moved on. He's someplace else. You have to realize that a lot of times whenever we're dealing with our brethren, we have a tendency to shoot where they were, not where they are. What I would like to do in the lesson this morning is, first of all, we're going to be discussing how we got where we are, but it's important for us to recognize where we are. So that when we do start talking to members of the body of Christ, we will understand where some of them are and how they got where they are. As a matter of fact, I guarantee you, you could probably sit down with some brethren, some members of the body of Christ, and start talking to them across your dinner table, and you may start thinking, we're not speaking the same language. We don't even understand the church alike. Our whole understanding of Christianity is completely different. And yet we both say we're members of the body of Christ. We're going to begin our lesson this morning by going back to a quote that comes from 1944. Let me read the quote to you. This quote comes from Mr. Floyd A. Decker, who wrote an article called Why I Left the Christian Church. Now, if you don't know, I'll explain to you. The first Christian church divided from the Church of Christ in 1906. And here, Mr. Decker, who was a member of the First Christian Church, he left it, and he's explaining why he left it and why he became a member of the Church of Christ. And again, I'm wanting you to see the date. It's 1944. The Christian Church emphasizes society and the physical man by appealing to the carnal nature with church carnivals, bands, plays, choruses, dramatics, church kitchens, church camps, and elaborate fellowship halls. The Church of Christ does not. That's 1944. That statement about the Church of Christ in 1944 is accurate. Let me show you something. This is a quote I found on the internet this past week. And this comes from someone who is a member of the body of Christ. Worship is a form of entertainment. If people are not entertained, they don't feel like they're participating. In another article I found on the internet, there was a man talking about how to transition the congregation to Saddleback and holy entertainment. How's that for a phrase? Holy entertainment. And the idea of this is how you can get a congregation that is a regular, conservative, normal congregation, how you can infiltrate them and change them and get them to transition to becoming a cowboy church or a Saddleback church or get involved in what they call holy entertainment. To where worship becomes entertainment and everything is centered around entertainment. I went to Google on my internet and I typed in Church of Christ and the word fun. I got 1,850,000 hits. Now you let that sink in. All I did was type in Church of Christ and the word fun. And I got over 1,850,000 things I could look at. And to say the least, I didn't look at all of them.
But I just started scanning, going to 1, 2, 3, 4. And this is basically what I was coming across. Look at this. The Meadow Park Church of Christ, a contemporary congregation with a knack for fun and celebration. That's how they advertise themselves. Now, brethren, something happened. Something's going on. Something's changing in the Church of Christ. And what has happened, and a lot of it has happened in my lifetime, is the Church of Christ is becoming consumed by entertainment. This lesson is in a series of lessons which is talking about the work of the church. God has given the blood-bought body of Christ a work that we are to be engaged in and involved in. Our primary work is the taking of the Word of God, the taking of the seed, and the sowing of the seed into a lost and dying world. And then taking the Word of God and edifying and strengthening the body of Christ. And then taking a treasury, a common treasury, and helping those that are in need from the body of Christ. Benevolence, ministry, and edification is our work. Notice the date we read earlier was 1944. Think about what's happened in America since 1944. Well, I was born in 1955. What happened in 1955? Well, Mr. Disney decided to build Disneyland. And since that time, we've had the onslaught and the onslaught of television. How many of you have televisions? How much time do you spend with television? How much time do you spend watching movies? How much time do you spend in entertainment? Now, just answer this question. How much time this past week did you spend watching television? Maybe going to a sporting event. Or reading a book. Not for education, but for the fun of it. I would say we Americans like our entertainment. And I'm one of them. I've been reading a book this week for entertainment. And I watched a movie for entertainment. I've gone to softball games for entertainment. We Americans really, really like our entertainment. And you need to recognize that what has happened in the last half century has been the rise of entertainment in the American culture. As entertainment has been arising in the American culture, you need to be conscious and aware that entertainment has become a means and a method through which those in religion have started using to draw people to come to their assemblies. Let me read a quote to you. This is a very interesting quote. It's not on the overhead, but I'll go ahead and decide that I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. Frivolous diversions and carnal amusements in the church will eventually destroy people's appetite for real worship and the preaching of God's word. You may be wondering, well, who said that? His name was Charles Spurgeon. He was a Baptist preacher in the 1800s. I consider him probably to be the greatest Baptist preacher of the 1800s. And Mr. Spurgeon understood in the Baptist church there was an onslaught of emphasis on self and entertainment, and they were using entertainment to try to draw people to their churches, and his fear was, as this happened, the people will lose their appetite for the preaching of the Word of God and honest to goodness, real worship. It's amazing. He saw it coming. You need to understand what has happened in the denominations in the last half century. They are losing members by the millions. Are you aware of this? Do you understand why? One of the primary reasons is because they have totally emptied themselves of spirituality, being taken over by modernism and their theological schools. I probably lost you with that statement. So I am my son saying you lost me. Okay, I'll explain it to you. In their theology schools, they started having men coming in and teaching that Jesus really wasn't born of a virgin. The resurrection really didn't happen. He really isn't the Son of God. Whether you realize it or not, this is being taught in the majority of the theological schools of the denominations. It's called modernism. It has totally emptied them of anything connected with Christianity. They don't get up and preach the word. They have turned into organizations that follow a philosophy of Christianity. They do not perceive Jesus as being the Christ, the Son of God. Now then, if that's going to be your case and that's going to be what you're going to be taught, don't be surprised when their members start leaving. They start losing membership by the millions because they're spiritually dead, dead, dead. And so their solution to the problem was, we got to keep the young people. And so what they started doing to keep the young people was offering them entertainment. Let me ask you something. You just think about this. What divided the church in 1906 was instrumental music being used in the church along with other subjects. But let me ask you, did we come up with that on our own? Or did we get that from the denominations? That's a pretty easy question. Well, they were the ones doing it. And we saw them doing it and we tried it and we liked it and it split us. Let me ask you, the use of entertainment in the body of Christ, is it something we've come up with on our own or we've learned this from others? We have observed the denominations using it. And you need to realize, folks, if you want to get people and your goal is to get as many people together in a building, it works. Did you hear what I just told you? If your goal is to get as many people together in a building, to see how many people you have in your assembly, entertainment will draw them. You don't believe that? Go to the theater and watch. They show up, don't they? Go to Disneyland and watch. Go to Six Flags and watch the crowd show up, don't they? Entertainment works. We are an entertainment-crazed country. And what is happening in the body of Christ over the last 50 years has been this progression that is culminating now to where we have got to the point of a contemporary congregation with a night for fun and celebration with 1,850,000 hits of Church of Christ and fun together in the same sentence. I would say entertainment is consuming the spirituality of the Church of Christ today. Now then, let's explain how we got where we are. We're going to begin by studying the subject of fellowship. And you may be wondering, why study fellowship? The reason we're going to study fellowship is because I want you to realize that in the body of Christ and in its history, when certain principles are accepted and foundational beliefs are accepted, one generation may believe it to a certain point, but the next generation will take those foundational principles and carry them a step further to its next logical conclusion. In particular, what we're going to be talking about is what we call fellowship halls. Do y'all remember Mr. Decker's comment? He said, talking about the Church of Christ, he talks about how they don't have fellowship halls and church kitchens and church camps. They don't have it. Now, again, you need to realize this is just an historical fact, folks. 1944, that is where the Church of Christ was. That's not where it is today. In my lifetime, I saw at my early age the rise of what was called the fellowship hall. Let's study the definition of the word fellowship. Fellowship is communion, fellowship, sharing in common. It is translated communion in 1 Corinthians 10:16. Also is translated fellowship in Philemon 6. Communication. It is also almost frequently translated fellowship. That which is the outcome of fellowship, a contribution. So basically it is dealing with together, communion, fellowship, sharing in common. What I would like to show you is the scriptures of the New Testament where you find this word used. So you can see what fellowship is in the New Testament. Philippians chapter 1 verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In the text here we see how the Philippian church was putting together a contribution in their treasury, the church treasury, and they were using that for the furtherance of the gospel and helping Paul as he was preaching the gospel as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And as they were putting together a common contribution together in a common contribution and sending it to Paul so he could preach the gospel and survive, that congregation in Philippi was having fellowship in the gospel. They were working together with Paul in the work of the church, in the sowing of the seed. Over in Romans chapter 15, verse 28. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. This word contribution comes from the same Greek word for fellowship. And again, I'm wanting you to see it's primarily dealing with the work of the church, putting together our contributions into a common treasury so that we can do the work of the church of helping those that were in need of the saints among Jerusalem together. There it is. Their fellowship was in the work of the church. How about 1 Corinthians 10:16? The cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? The word communion here comes from the same Greek word for fellowship. Again, it is the idea of doing it together, something binding you together into a common union. When we just partook of the Lord's Supper, it was binding us together in the body of Christ, where the blood of Christ is. We did it together. The saints came together in one place. That is our fellowship in worship together. Whether you realize it or not, when we partook of the Lord's Supper, we were having fellowship. In worship, though, I'm warning you to see the Lord's Supper is not a common meal. It is worship that we do together that binds us together into the one body. And then the next one, 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. In the context here in 1 John 1, he's talking about how they received that which have been taught by John the Apostle and the other apostles. And if they will walk in the light as God is in the light, then by this walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another, fellowship with God. I have a question for you. From any of those verses, do you see a fellowship hall? No. What I see is doing the work of the kingdom together, contributing together to help saints that were in need, taking the Lord's Supper together, following God together, in the light, together. Then how do we end up with kitchens? You ever wondered about that? Well, I'm just going to try to explain to you again the historical approach. You need to realize they didn't have cars for a long time, folks. They didn't have cars. As a matter of fact, cars changed America a great deal. We've got brethren here that are from Van. If you didn't have a car, and it was a century ago, how are you going to get here from Van? You're going to take your buggy and horse. And you can come over. And as soon as services are over in the morning, you can go back to Van, right? No. It's a long way. You got your horse and buggy. You're not going to go back to Van and your horse and buggy and then come back again at night. So what do? Well, you eat together and then you come back and worship together. A lot of times they would eat together underneath the tree in the back, or go over to people's houses that were close by and eat together. And sometimes they even ate together in the building. And then they would worship some more and go home. But something happened in the 1940s that was really important. America got real rich after the first or the Second World War. We just started booming in our economy. And if you just study even the history of the church here in Lindale, in the 1948 when they built a building, it was right over here in the corner, and it was a little white building. But then after the Second World War, all of a sudden we start getting pretty good financially, and we want nicer buildings. And it was about this time that you're going to find that congregations, when they started building nicer buildings, along with their buildings, many of them started building kitchens together with it. And make no mistake about it, when this first happened, If you read the letters in the bulletins, it was a heated debate. It was something that was not there a generation ago. And there was a heated debate among brethren over this subject. The majority of the congregations built kitchens over a period of time. And over a period of time, it just became an understood part of the work of the church among many of them. But they call them fellowship halls. Why do they call them fellowship halls? You need to understand this is important because the eating together is viewed as part of the work of the church of fellowship. Now, Christians ate together in the first century, folks. Okay? Just don't even worry about that. They did. You got multitudes of verses that show that Christians ate together. Christians still eat together. But is that the work of the church? Where we take money from our treasury and build facilities so that we can cook and have potlucks together? Is that our work in the blood-bought body of Christ? Now you need to realize this is significant. Because you need to realize that among the majority out there, they actually perceive this as part of the work. Over a period of time, it is being viewed as just part of the work of the church. That we put together our money into a treasury, and then from that treasury, build a kitchen or fellowship hall, and then we come together, and part of that is the work of the church. I remember the first time a gymnasium was built in Mississippi, and that's where I'm from. Every congregation that had a fellowship hall except one roared and laid their heads back and roared as loud as they could against it. I remember that day. I remember it clearly. Because I heard brethren, one after another, who had fellowship halls say, no, we're not going to have these multi-family purpose gymnasiums. That was 1980. We're 20 years later. And almost all those congregations have them now. What happened? You need to understand what happened. What happened is the next generation. Listen real close to what I'm about to tell you. Whatever foundational principles that you lay down, the next generation is going to take those foundational principles and carry them to the next step. That is why we find quite often whenever there's debate among brethren, it is generational debates. To where the older generation is saying to the younger generation, why are you doing this? You can't go that way. You're not supposed to be doing that. When the older generation needs to go back and examine itself as to how they got where they are and realize that all they're doing is taking the next logical step. If eating together in a fellowship hall is fellowship, why is not playing basketball in a family life center together fellowship? Please answer that question. If eating together in a fellowship hall is fellowship, why is not playing basketball together in a family life center fellowship? Where we are today is competition with the denominations. Competition. I know I moved here from Searcy, Arkansas. I preached there for 10 years. While I was there, it was the Assembly of God were the first ones to build this humongous complex. I mean, folks, it's bigger than anything I've ever seen. And guess what happened to their membership after they built it? They started growing. Their membership started increasing. And so, not to be outdone, the Methodists built one that cost $2 million. Folks, it's big. It looked like something from a college campus. Two stories, brick and fine, Any kind of entertainment you want, they got it. And guess what happened? Their membership started growing. And then the Baptists panicked because the Methodist and the Assembly of God's growing and we're losing members. The young people are going over there. And so guess what they did? They built a bigger one and a nicer one. And this is Searcy, you know, Church of Christ country, folks. And not to be outdone, the University Church of Christ gets in there and spends over $1 million to build theirs. Y'all understand what's going on in Lindell, Texas? Have you figured it out? It's called competition. Okay, let's just lay it out there for you. There are people that are wanting to take the denominations that they have here in town in directions that the older generation doesn't want it to go. Have y'all figured that out? You talk to the older Methodist, the older Baptist here in town and ask them, is that the direction you want your church to go in? And you know what they're going to say? The majority of them will go, no, we don't want to go in that way. Well, where is it coming from? Where is the push coming from? It's coming from the young people, the next generation. The next generation who has seen what previous generations did in order to draw members, and they're just taking it to its next logical step, which is let's build bigger facilities for entertainment and just give ourselves completely over to it. When we were up in Searcy, Arkansas, we had a meeting with the elders from one of the congregations there, with the elders where I was preaching. And the purpose of the meeting was to see if we could work out our differences between us and have stronger relationship between us as congregations. In the middle of this discussion, the six elders from the other congregation, I asked them this question. If you got rid of your gym and your kitchen, would half your congregation leave? And all six of the elders said nothing and just looked down at the floor. And this is what I told them, and listen to this. If half your congregation would leave now, in 10 years, all of them will leave. You have created a monster that will consume whatever spirituality you still have left. That is what's happening in the Church of Christ today. We are looking at the denominations and we're seeing how they are losing membership, and so they're building their gyms and they're consumed with entertainment to draw people back to them. And we say it's working, so we better do the same thing or we're going to lose our young people. And so we jump right in with the denominations and create our own monsters. I'll give you some more history in a moment. Right now, let's get to the scriptures. I think I've already given you that one and that one. It's all about me. Y'all know what the 70s generation was called? Ben knows this because he said it in a sermon the other day. The me generation, a selfish generation, to where it's all around what I want. You need to realize this is becoming the driving force in religion today among those who profess to be Christian. Is me, what I want, what I like. Matthew 21, verse 38. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. This text is talking about the kingdom and how those Jews saw Christ and they wanted his kingdom for themselves. It was all about them. We put our money together into a common treasury for the work of the church to sow the seed of the word of God into a lost and dying world. To water and edify members of the body of Christ with the word of God. And to help struggling brethren. And we look at this treasury that we have here for the work of the church. And we wanted it for ourselves. You need to realize, folks, the rise of entertainment in the Church of Christ is about nothing but what we want for ourselves. We want his inheritance for ourselves. Does that upset you? If it doesn't, why? I meant for it to. Because that's what it is. cold carnality, selfishness. Matthew 6:5. But when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. You may be wondering, what's this verse in here for? Because this verse in here is because I'm wanting you to see in the text here, it is all about me. It's all about me and being seen. Why do people want to turn worship into entertainment? Because it's all about me, what I want. And there's some people that will give in to this because they like being the center point of attention. They like being the entertainer to the congregation. They like to be seen of men. It's all about me. Let me read something to you. This is from a brother who is trying to describe what is taking place in the community church movement in the Church of Christ today. Okay, this is a brother describing what he sees, and I believe his observations are correct. He's observing how it begins in the denominations and spreads into the Church of Christ. Now, just listen to this. And this is what they want in a community church. Contemporary music. At Willow Creek, a pop singer has replaced the choir, and a 10-piece rock band has replaced the organ. Now, this is talking about what happened in the denominations. You replace the organ player and the choir with a rock band and a singer. Let me ask you older folks, do you think you would ever in your lifetime hear a rock and roll gospel? A rap gospel? That sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Contradicting terms. Rap, gospel, rock, gospel. Those are contradictory terms. Where did it come from? It's all about me. I like that kind of music. It's all about me. So I want that in my worship. It's all about me. Again, let me read the next statement to you. Eliminate denominational names. Most community churches are disguised denominations, that is. They still hold to Baptist or Methodist creeds and teachings, but the name has been changed. As this movement has infiltrated Churches of Christ, the name Church of Christ has been diminished or eliminated. Casual emphasis in worship, both in style and dress. The next point is different kinds of leadership model rather than elders who have authority. Praise teams and entertainment orientation in worship. Entertainment and praise teams in worship. Again, it's all about me. Worship goes out. It's all about me and entertainment. A greater emphasis on self, including one's own feelings and emotions. It's all about me. It's all about me. Greater emphasis on self and how you feel. De-emphasis on doctrine and among Churches of Christ, and emphasis on the restoration plea. Now listen, folks, you may be thinking, no, that's not happening. Okay, let's look at Lindell. Let's look at Lindell. You got the North Lindell Church of Christ. And then, you know, that label Church of Christ is just too much. And so they become the North Lindell Church. There's the next step. And then after the North Lindell Church, then it becomes the Cowboy Church. And then that's not enough for some, and so they break away from the Cowboy Church and they focus on becoming what's called New Beginnings. Focus on restoration principle. New Beginnings. That's Lindell, Texas. Folks, this ain't kind of what's happening. That's where the deer is. Shoot it where it is! Quit shooting over here where they were 30 years ago! Recognize where the church is today and go in there and pull your sword out and attack it where it is today. Rather than shooting into the wind where it was 30 years ago. They have become consumed with a monster of entertainment. Let's continue now on the sermon outline. Have you ever heard the old idea, well, we need to do this in order to get people. What are we going to do? They're going to leave. In John 6:26, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." In the text here, Jesus has just performed the feeding of 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fishes. A great miracle. And after he's done this miracle, he crosses the Sea of Galilee. And guess what? There are some people that cross the Sea of Galilee seeking after Jesus. And when they find Jesus on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus points out to them, you didn't come after me because you saw the signs. They weren't coming after him because of faith. They actually went to the point of crossing the Sea of Galilee it was. They crossed the Sea of Galilee to find Jesus because he gave them food. He looked into their heart to see why they were there. He recognized their motive for following him was cold carnality, all about me. You want some more food. Now then, folks, if the ends justifies the means, this would be the test case right here. In that same chapter, in verse 66, from that time many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus did not say when they turn and walk away, wait a minute, come back. And you want some more fish and bread? Okay, wait a minute. Let me feed you again. And maybe after I feed you again, then I can teach you while you're here. Is that what you hear, folks? We'll get them with entertainment, and while we've got them here, we'll teach them. We need something to draw them. And what we've got to do is entertain them to draw them, and when we've got them in here, then we're going to get them grounded in their faith. Listen, folks. What God Almighty, the creator of the universe, uses to draw mankind to him is the death of his son on the cross at Calvary. And if the love of God manifest through Christ crucified will not draw you, do not think basketball will. We have lost faith and trust in the power of Christ crucified. I got a phone call after I'd been here in Lindell a few weeks. And the lady said, "I'm new here in Lindell area. Can you tell me about the Lindell Church of Christ? And what you got for my young people?" And this is what I told her. She said, "I'm looking for a congregation. I got some young people. What have you got for our young people?" I told her, "We're the Lindell Church of Christ. We try to teach the Word of God, and we try the best we can to live it. We're not perfect, but we try. And your children, we've got Bible classes for all ages, and we've got good teachers. And we'll do the very best we can to teach your children the Word of God to where they will have their own personal faith, so that whenever they grow up and leave your home, they will walk and live by their faith." And I thought, and I was waiting for her to say, "What time are your services?" But she said, "You got entertainment for my kids?" I said, "No." "You got a daycare where you take care of my kids?" "No." "Do you know anybody that does?" "Yes. Here's their address." Mr. Spurgeon observed it in the Baptist church, that as entertainment rises, their desire to hear the word and hear the truth diminishes. It consumes whatever spirituality they may have still left. If you have to draw them with hamburger and Coke, you have to keep them with steak. The next generation. You need to realize, folks, that whenever you start down this road of entertainment to draw them with, you've got to come up with better entertainment to keep the next generation. And we are competing with Hollywood. We're competing with Disneyland. That's why if you go up into Camden, Arkansas, you're going to see the Church on the Rock. You know what the Church on the Rock has got, folks? Next to their building, they've got a carnival. That's right. And on a sign at their church building, it says,
Come worship with us and ride the rides free. And you need to realize it's drawing people. It's drawing. When are we going to have Six Flags Over Christ, I wonder?
The next generation is going to go further than you ever thought. Because they see this now as being the primary work of the church. It's all about me. What are you going to give me for me to come there?
First Corinthians 11:21-22. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of another, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What, do you not have houses to eat and drink in, or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. In the text here, you have individuals in the church in Corinth, and they're perverting the Lord's Supper, turning it into a common meal. And he says about this, do you not have houses to eat and drink in? You need to realize there is a restriction placed on the assembly. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:34. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment, and the rest I will set in order when I come. I tried to point this out to you a few weeks ago in my sermon on the difference between individual members of the body of Christ and the assembly. Now listen, folks. God does place restrictions on the assembly that he does not place on individual Christians. That's why the women were told to keep silent in the churches, even though they had the same gift as the men. Let me give you a very scholarly interpretation of what this verse means. When it says, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, what that means is, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Yep, that's it. How many of you have ever talked with Baptists? And you say, see here in Mark 16:16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. How many of you, does it irritate you when they go, doesn't mean that? And you're like, what do you mean it doesn't mean that? He just said it. He just read it, it's there. And yet with my own brother, when I read this to him, they go, it doesn't mean that. It means it. Okay? You don't need any other comment. It means it. Matthew 21:12-13. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Why did he cast these money changers out? Why? Is it sinful to change money? No. Is it sinful to buy and sell a dove? No. Then why did he kick them out of the temple? Now listen close to the answer, brethren, because the answer is extremely important for you to understand the nature of the church today. It's the house of God. And it's a house of prayer. For spiritual purposes in service to God, they had taken something that was of a secular nature and brought it up into a realm that was for spiritual purposes only. How many of you ever heard people say, the church is not the building. It doesn't matter what you do with the building. Okay, I agree. Church isn't the building. The assembly is the church. And the assembly is the temple of God. And the assembly is for spiritual purposes. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. And do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. No, the building is not the church. You are the assembly. And the assembly is the temple of God, and the assembly is holy.
And the assembly is still for spiritual purposes. But what has happened is it has been hijacked by people who want to take it and use it for their desires, for their entertainment. What are you going to give me?
Let me tell you one more story and the lesson will be yours.
In the Spanish work out there, they're not as separated as the Anglo congregations. In other words, institutional congregations still attend non-institutional meetings and vice versa. The congregation here in Lindell, Texas is a non-institutional Spanish work. They had a gospel meeting a few months ago, had over 200 people in attendance. And after their meeting was over, they came up to the preacher and he said, well, where's the food? And he said, you just got it. It was the Word of God. Well, he thought it was all said and done. A few weeks ago, the preachers from congregations in the town around, from Tyler and from Mineola, the Spanish preachers, they came to him and they said, we need to talk to you. And this was basically the gist of it. If you're not going to feed us, we're not going to come. You tell me it's not all about me? That's what entertainment's all about. They got the understanding. We'll come, but you've got to feed us. And if you won't feed us, we won't come. The congregations that have consumed themselves with this monster will continue to get consumed with it. Do not think it has reached its finality. There are congregations now that are building swimming poles, lakes for fishing, camping grounds. I wonder what they call their swimming pool. Is it a fellowship pool? Is it a family life pool? I'm waiting for the golf courses. Is it going to be a fellowship golf course? Now listen, folks, and listen close to my closing statement. God Almighty did not send His Son to die on the cross at Calvary and shed the most precious thing in the universe, the blood of the Son of God, so we can play basketball. And if you think that's the work of the church, you are completely missing Christianity. But that's where we are. And again, you want to see previews of coming attractions? Just look across the street. I wonder how long it's going to be before we have boot scooting bash at the Lindell Church somewhere around here that calls itself the Church of Christ. That's right. The Methodists, in order to get people, they got to have the boot scooting bash. That was 2 weeks ago. Build their gyms. They're in competition with people around here. They got to get young people because if they don't give this to them, they won't come. Let me tell you something about young people. I was young once. And there are young people here in this congregation. They're not that trite. They're not that shallow. They are responding to Christ crucified just like previous generations have. And we must not lose confidence in what God has used to draw people to Him. And that is His love manifest through His Son dying for them. And not surrender to the pressure of giving in to thinking if we don't entertain them, we won't get them. They won't come, they won't stay. Because when you go through that door, you create a monster that will consume whatever spirituality you may still have left. I'm going to go ahead and close the sermon out. But after I finish my sermon, I think Brother Carter... We'll go ahead and have the invitation song. And Brother Carter wanted to speak to the congregation for a few moments. So please do not disperse right after we have the invitation song. There might be somebody here that's not a member of the body of Christ yet. It is our hope and our desire that you would come out of darkness and come into the kingdom of Christ. That is what it's all about. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and you've gone in the world and left the Lord, I'd like to encourage you to come home and come back to the Father. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the very best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the songs that have been selected.